Shalom Aleichem, welcome everyone as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Nayach. And here I'd like to touch on a couple of topics. One has to do with pshat, the simple taich of a pasuk, which is difficult, and the understanding of it may be very helpful as a halacha as well. In the 10th parak, in Parshas Nayach, and Pasuk Yud Aleph, it describes Vayiven as Ninveh, Ves Rechai Vesir, Ves Kolach, the building of these three cities, Ninveh, Rechai Vesir, and Kolach. Okay, the Pasuk mentions the building of many cities. The following Pasuk Yud Beis is a difficult one. It reads as follows. Ves Resen. Okay, one more city was built, Resen. Where was Resen? Bein Ninveh or Bein Kolach. Between the two cities mentioned in the previous pasuk, Resen was Bein Ninveh Bein Kolach. He ha'ir agdaila. She is the big city. Again, that's Resen. Bein Ninveh Bein Kolach. He ha'ir agdaila. Who is she? She is the big city. Who's that? Well, I think anybody touching the pasuk normally would assume it's referring to Resen. Ve'es Resen. Bein Ninveh Bein Kolach. He ha'ir agdaila. Resen is the only new city mentioned here. And this new city was between two previous cities. And Hiyair Agdaila. Rashi says, Hiyair Agdaila is Ninveh, Shenemar. As it says in the fourth parak of Yaina, that Ninveh was Hiyair Agdaila. So it needs some type of explanation. It does not fit well into the simple Olive-based translation of this pasuk. Recently, I traveled together with some very chashuv Talmidei Chachamim, and one of them suggested the following pshat. Ve'es Resen, there's no question. Resen is the city that's being built here. Where was Resen? Bein Ninveh or Bein Kolach. Very often, you have a city. Let's say New York City. Originally, there were some houses in Brooklyn, and that was called Brooklyn or Kings. There were some houses in the Bronx. It was called the Bronx. Some houses in Manhattan. Over decades, each of these built out until they all flowed one into the other so that there is no space of empty land between Brooklyn and Queens or New Manhattan or the Bronx, maybe even Staten Island, and suddenly it became one big city. How did it become a big city? Because small cities built out and touched each other. Perhaps that's pshat in the pasuk. Ve'es Resen. An additional city was built. Pasuk Yud Aleph already says that even as Ninveh ves Rechai ves Yev ves Kolach described the building of these cities, Ninveh separately and Kolach separately. And Resen. Resen was between Ninveh and Kolach. He, ha'ir agdaila. These three cities, which grew one into the other, became the big city. It became a big city. After all, it was three cities that spread out until they flowed one into the other, and that becomes Ir HaGadayla. It's a wonderful shot in the pasuk. More importantly, Yerushalayim Ir HaKadosh. Rav Zevin, in his Mayadim Bahalacha, talks about the question of what part of Yerushalayim is truly Yerushalayim, the Gabi Shushan Purim and Purim. And he quotes Rav Tukhatsinsky as saying that the old city is Yerushalayim. The new neighborhoods are not Meir Sharim, further out, Unsdorf, Matisdorf, and yet further out, the neighborhoods that continue to be built are not really part of Yerushalayim. They're separate neighborhoods. Yet, Rav Zevin says, no one listens to him. Everybody wants to be part of Yerushalayim. And therefore, we consider all of the Kanai Nahara, the growing city, the greater Yerushalayim, to be part of Yerushalayim. Here we have a source for it. We have a source that if you have small settlements and they build one into the other. That's what Yerushalayim is. That's why the streets don't go into each other in a grid. That's why they're all over the place, because they were separate neighborhoods, each with its own few blocks, and they grew into each other. Are they one city? Here we have a makar that they could possibly be considered one city. Let's move on to another technical topic. We know that Noach was told to take seven of every behema taira and two of every behema tameya. And the seven, every Rishon tells us, was so that there was the kosher behemas for karbanos beyond the two that were needed for kiyumam in for the min to reproduce. What is the pshat? Are there seven? Are there seven pairs? The Rishonim argue. This is the Chumim Rashi brings two pshatim. Either there were seven animals, three pairs and one individual animal, or seven pairs of animal. He's not clear to the Sifrei Chachamim which one Rashi means. The Ramban in Pasuk Ches says that they were an addition of six pairs. Now there was one pair for the animal to continue, as the Behemah Tameya was one pair, and then six more for Korbanos. Rabbeinu Bachya says, fascinating. Rabbeinu Bachya says, Shiva Letzarech Karban. Seven pairs were needed for Korbanos. He calls it Seidah Karbanos, the secret of Karbanos. The Navy Bezeh Sheva Mizbechais. Bilam said, Hachin Li Bezeh Sheva Parim Mishiva Elam. Prepare for me seven oxen, seven rams, and seven Mizbechais to bring Karbanos. He calls it the Seid of the seven. And according to Rabbeinu Bachya, it would turn out that there were eight pairs. It's one of the pasuk. Shnayim mikol yavayu elecha. Two come on their own. And Shiva Shiva, the pasuk says, tikach loch, you bring. So every minute, two that came on their own, and seven that were brought. So we have three different pshatim in how this worked. I have a problem with the flow of Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya says, why does it say about the seven you bring it, as opposed to the two which came on their own? Says Rabbeinu Bachya, Ava Rachamon, Hashem is the Father of Mercy. Hashem didn't want to say to animals, come on your own, and they're going to end up slaughtered. So the animals that were for the continuation of the min, they came on their own. The animals that came to be slaughtered, no, you tikach loch, you take it. I don't understand this. One pair was taken to the kiyum hamin, so the animal could continue. The rest of them were about to be drowned in the mabul. The seven that came and lived an extra year. It's true, ultimately they were slaughtered as a carbon, but they didn't drown in the mabul. They lived a year longer. So what does it mean that Ava Rachamon didn't want to tell them to come on their own? Adarabba, coming on their own would be the ideal. Tzorchi and Gadol, something which needs some sort of an explanation. So, a thought regarding the cities, a thought regarding the animals, a thought regarding Shem, Cham, and Yafes. The significance of the differences Shem, Cham, and Yafes is brought out to us by the Kuzari. Let me be magdim. Let me say first that we know the Greeks in the age of the Greek philosophers, Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates, were great philosophers. The Rambam praises their wisdom. What's fascinating is that the Rambam writes in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh that when he describes the Tkufais, when he describes the different, the way that the celestial bodies travel, the Rambam says in Perek Yizayin, Halacha Chav Dalid, that Asfarim Shechibru Chach Me Yisrael, Shehayu Bimei HaNeviim, those Asfarim that were originally written by the Chach Me Yisrael, They're lost. We don't have them. And therefore he writes that he relied the Chachmasat Kufais Vagamatrias on the Svarim Shechibru Chachmei Yavan Svarim Ahem. And he relied on the Greek philosophers. It's an amazing thing that a whole part of Halacha should be written based on Greek philosophy. The Rama says it's emes, be makabel emes from whoever says it, fine, no problem. But min ha-shamayim, such a thing should take place. The Kuzari, in his first maimer, says in Oy Samach Gimel and further, that true wisdom, secular wisdom, is only true when combined with the source of elikus, when it comes from a godly chachma. And says the Kuzari, we shouldn't rely on the secular philosophy, except to the degree that it's rooted in wisdom of Torah. Yet we find that the Greeks had this wisdom. He writes incredibly, and he writes about this in Maimer Beis, Aisamach Vav as well, that part of the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the four kingdoms that followed was not only a churban of the physical Eretz Yisrael, but also of the chachma of Klal Yisrael. As long as the wisdom of Klal Yisrael stayed in the B'nai Shem, it was fine. Of course, ideally it should be in Klal Yisrael, but as long as it stayed among the children of Shem, which is Babel, who destroyed the first place of Migdash, the Babylonians, who took over from them Paras U'Madai. As long as it stayed in the B'nai Shem, it was pure. Later, when the Greeks, the third kingdom came, and the Greeks come from Yefes, at that point, the wisdom became tainted. It became not so reliable. The loss of the Beis HaMikdash and others taking over the Beis HaMikdash was mirrored by a loss in the Chochmah, in the wisdom of the world, the worldly wisdom, not being a chachmas elokus. And that loss, the wisdom became less reliable. He brings a raya, he brings a proof to this, because he says the Greeks had great philosophers just for that period of time where they took over Eretz Yisrael, where they took over, says the Kuzari, kamu b'em ha-filosofin ha-mufursamin b'yam ha-mayim, like kaidim l'chein v'lo lachem ikein. It never happened that the Greeks had great philosophers later. Me'esh shava ha-malchus l'rumayim. For when the Malchus, the fourth kingdom, came, the Romans, or children of Shem, l'kam b'hem filosof m'fursam. The Asadi says is that even when there were great philosophers and great studiers of the wisdom, chachmas ha'ilam, of the sciences, it's always lacking something when it's not rooted, when it's not passed down as part of the Messiah of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, there was a period. It matched the period that the Yavanim took over Eretz Yisrael, and it matched that as well. One of the Achrayim says an incredible thing. There were 13 pirtzais that the Greeks made in the Beis HaMikdash. We know that from the Mishnah and Midas, the Perpes of Mishnah Gimel. They made pirtzais in the wall that surrounded the Heichal. We say, Yavanim niklesu alai, azai bimech hashmanim. And they made holes. It wasn't just the destruction of holes. Those holes represented the right of other nations to go into the Beis HaMikdash. We also know from the story of Talmai, Mesechta Megillah Daf Tes, that the Greeks forced Klal Yisrael, the Chachmei Yisrael, to translate the Torah so that the Greeks could seize on the Torah. And changes were made. Instead of Bereshis Bara Lakim, it says the Lakim Bara Bereshis. The Gemara there in Megillah talks about changes they made. There was also 13 changes. As if to represent, to teach us, that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Greeks taking over the world wisdom were part of one and the same thing, part of the Churban. Chachma belongs among B'nai Shem. So what happened in this week's parasha was more than just a passing incident. It's an eternal ownership, sort of the Messiah of true wisdom of the world, which remains with the B'nai Shem and not the B'nai Yefes. And this understanding that for a window of time, the Greeks had extraordinary, Yevanim had extraordinary wisdom as well. And so with these three thoughts, I wish one and all an absolutely wonderful Shabbos, Shabbos Parshas Noach, maybe a Shabbos meaningful, a Shabbos of growth for you, for me, for all of Klal Yisrael.